Yes, say hi, hello, and welcome inside a Thursday edition of the program. Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. Glad you are with us on the program here on the show. I don't know what I'm hearing audio-wise, but we'll, figure it out here in just a second. Oh, that's what's going on. All right. You know what? I leave for a day and the audio gets all messed up in here, but that's probably user error. We got a lot to get to today. Mick Tindrill, voice of the Cardinals, with us. But right here at the top of the show, Ball State Women's Basketball Head Coach Brady Selle with us. It's our Coach's Corner of the Week, brought to you by the 1925 Pub House of the Courtyard. Coach, what's going on? Thanks for joining us.
Just sitting here in the Marriott, driving myself crazy, watching a little bit of film, and had a great practice today, getting ready for Kent State, and can't wait for game time.
Well, Coach, before we talk about the most important particulars, I did try to use that letter you sent out on your team sent out on social media to get out of work. Either the letter didn't work, or I'm not very good at selling it, Coach, because I'm talking to you right now, which is the best part of my week. Okay.
Well, look at it this way: I think you're just too important to not be there doing what you do. So it's just. In critical times, we need big timers to stay back behind and run the city. So you must be that guy.
Or they just can't find a better option. And they're like, I guess Mark will do it. Coach, I'm always curious about this. Congratulations on the win yesterday. Mm-hmm. Can you look at this week, and you obviously want it to be a long week that culminates with Saturday at 11 a.m. in Cleveland. You get there on a Tuesday, and you're there all week, and it's a long week. Can you find another week in your schedule, in your year, that's anything like this week?
I think we have bits and pieces throughout the year where – we can simulate days that are very similar to what we deal with, but the culmination of the Wednesday off on Thursday, the Friday Saturday turnaround, all in one week, it's hard to be in a situation where you're playing three games in that amount of time with as little a prep as we get in these situations. So I think what's critical is, you take some pre-conference tournaments, when we're down in Florida, and you use those with the thought of, okay, we're going to have a back-to-back type situation like hopefully we do Friday and Saturday. We were just on the road. We went to Kent State, stayed on the road during spring break, and went on to Buffalo. So we had all that time, that we had to fill with, different kinds of things, and had to manage – our bodies there a little bit and make sure that our kids stayed healthy. So, we've kind of been there and done it, but now we have to put it all together and do it three games in 4 days and hopefully cut down those nets Saturday afternoon.
It's Brady Selle, Ball State Women's Basketball Head Coach, live in Cleveland at the Mid-American Conference Tournament. Ball State on to face off against Kent State tomorrow in the semifinals. Championship would be 11 a.m. coming up on Saturday morning. Coach, I'm always curious about this, and you and I have done a lot of these interviews. Do you learn more about your successes this year or the couple moments in Mid-American Conference play against Northern Illinois and Toledo that have made you stronger to get to this point of the conference tournament?
I just think the holistic lesson that comes with, a 31-game regular season hopefully culminates into you being the best version of yourself. So, you take those successes and you learn a lot about yourself in those. But you still learn lessons, right? You still find things that you can be better at. And then clearly, when you hit those speed bumps and those are the toughest lessons, of course, and being able to handle that and see it for what it is becomes really, really important. But then, you put all of those together to figure out what you're capable of and really to gain confidence in the fact that we're good enough to go do this. We're good enough to go be the last team standing in this league. And I think that's what our 31-game schedule taught us in the regular season is we know we're good enough. We just got to go do it. And definitely easier said than done, but our confidence is where we want it to be. We feel battle-tested. I don't think there's a moment that's been necessarily too big for us this year. And, you know, again, you take all of those and you feel good running out on the court with this group.
Well, it feels like at conference tournament time, and this doesn't just stand for the Mid-American Conference Tournament with, you know, when you're a two seed and the one seed and you guys have been battling it out all year for the regular season, it's almost looking ahead from the outside perspective. I certainly know you guys aren't doing that. And then you kind of get reminded crazy things can happen, like what happened today in the men's tournament with Kent State over Toledo. So how much of a confidence – your team's always confident, Coach, and rightfully so. But to go through the experience and play very well yesterday in it and not just get that win and get it out of the way, did you feel like you played to the level that is the progression that you want going into tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, I think it's probably a little bit abnormal this time of year to win by 24 in a conference tournament. And I think that was our margin. But, you know, most games are, you know, if you just look across the country, most of these tournament games, you know, they come down to some possessions here or there. And, you know, you don't get many blowouts in these situations because, you know, teams are fighting for their basketball lives. And, you know, Ohio definitely was playing that hard and they wanted to keep it going, but we were just that good. And really, you know, the only fault I could probably find with our game yesterday was we just turned the ball over too much. But it's also – that's what Ohio does. Like, that's – like, they put you in those types of situations. So, you know, you're going to turn it over a little bit more against them. You know, so you got to be understanding of who you're playing and kind of what they're doing and those kind of things. But I feel good about coming out, taking care of business. We were ready to go. You know, we played well and had a lot of players, like we always do, add to that victory. So, you know, it's a good feeling to be balanced this time of year. It's a good feeling to be healthy this time of year. And I think we got both those going in our favor.
It's Brady Salley, Ball State women's basketball head coach, with us on the Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. Every Ball State coach conversation over the last several months brought to you by the 1925 Pubhouse at the Courtyard. You know, I wonder, Coach, with other groups, you might say, hey, you know, is there nervous energy when you go into the conference tournament? Your team, and again, I've watched your team a lot. I haven't really been around face-to-face with your players. I've talked to you. This is what I get, Coach. The confidence is very evident with this team, and sometimes when you say confidence, people misconstrue that as arrogance, which the reason I bring that up, Coach, when you go into this week, does that confidence lead you into you don't have to really necessarily worry about some of that nervous energy when they get to the point that everybody's been talking about all year long, Coach?
Yeah, there's an experience level with the group we have. You know, they've all been here and done it. You know, the majority of our junior class, they were freshmen when we made it to the championship game. You know, we've been through the rigors here. We understand what it's all about. Now, you know, I do think there's a healthy amount of nervousness, you know, with these games. I think if you don't have that, you probably ought not to be doing this. I think being able to harness that, being able to control it and not let it win, not let it get the best of you is the difference with the experience that we have up here. And you know, Ohio at the end of that game in their presser, you know, they had a lot of young kids and they hadn't been here. And they talked about, you know, that nervousness and maybe, you know, it gets to some young kids a little bit more than it gets to a group like ours that has a lot of experience up here. So, you know, it's a good feeling, like I said, to know you got a group that you don't have to explain what's going to go down every second of the day, because they've been here, they've done it, and they get it. And so I trust them with that part of it. And so really we can focus on game plans and playing ball.
Well, and part of it, Coach, there's probably a lot of people listening that have watched many conference tournaments on the men's and women's side. And when you watch it, you don't get to get that feel of what a true neutral court, I call it staleness. It's just different. And as much as the experience of going through a conference tournament, like I know it's a little thing in the grand scheme of things to go to a neutral four, but like oftentimes when you go to tournaments early on, you might be going to a host school that's kind of hosting this thing, but when you get to the conference tournament, like if you haven't been there as a fan or in that environment, like it really, I would imagine, adds something to really play on that neutral floor in a conference tournament because it's just different.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I think one of the cool things about it is, you know, you spend all year, you know, having a home crowd or going on the road and having to play against the home crowd. And so it really sways one way or another, right? I think at a conference tournament, you've got just kind of electricity going back and forth with both teams. You know, your crowd gets into it and your runs, their crowd gets into it and their runs, the bands are great. So it's really, you know, it's the atmosphere everybody sees on TV and imagines, you know, it's heightened. And, you know, you hear coaches a lot talk about, you know, having to coach every single possession and how important every single possession is in a conference tournament. And I think that's why, it's because, you know, there's really no, a crowd takes over a situation. Your team has to kind of lead that charge. And so understanding the importance of each and every possession and how heightened it can be, I think is part of that experience we were talking about earlier.
So what are the next 12-ish hours like for your team in preparation for tomorrow?
Yeah, actually, our group is out doing some community service right now at the Boys and Girls Club in Cleveland. You know, it was something that was brought to our table, and our kids have been great that way all year, and that seemed like a natural for us. It kind of, you know, breaks up the monotony of just sitting in a hotel all daggone day. You know, so we'll have a great dinner. We'll watch a little bit of film, and we'll get them to bed. And, you know, tomorrow comes early and often. You know, with the early starts and we'll be in that second game there. But, you know, in terms of coaches, you know, we try to watch as much film as we can right now. You know, we've got some coaches working ahead on Buffalo, some coaches working ahead on Toledo, and then we've got myself and some coaches working on what we're going to do tomorrow against Kent State. And, you know, you're trying to maybe buy a basket here or there, a possession here or there. Nothing's going to get too crazy with the game plan this time of year because you just don't have that much time for prep. So, you know, it's kind of that hay in the barn mentality, like it's time to go play. And, you know, the good news with my group is, you know, I don't think we have to hope this can happen for us. I think we know that we're capable of doing this. We're clearly a very good basketball team. We just got to go play. And, you know, we feel like if we played our standards, we can beat anybody we play against. And that's kind of where our mindset is right now.
Yeah, no question. Kent State, you faced them twice this year. You faced them about a week ago. Played in a 57-46 win and played in a 75-71 win. So two stylistically different from a numbers standpoint there. But when you face a team a third time there, like you said, they are who they are. You are who you are. There's wrinkles that are always going to be inserted. But how much can you take from matchup one, matchup two, now to matchup three?
Yeah, really, you know, I think in our matchup at our place, where it was a really low-scoring game, it became a little bit of a rock fight. Neither team could make shots They missed a ton of free throws. It's kind of hard to take a lot from that game, to be honest with you. The last game we played was a little bit more like we would have expected, you know, on their floor, and it was a big win for us. It's been a place that's been tough for us to win, so we felt good about that part of it. You know, honestly, there were no surprises in that game. I can't imagine either team's going to come out with any surprises tomorrow.
Right.
You know, I think they feel like they're a good basketball team, and they are. We feel the same way, and it should be what a semifinal game in this league should look like. It'll be a physical, tough game against two teams trying to keep their seasons rocking and rolling.
Biggest kind of standouts of what, you know, in your mind, if you're playing your style, coach, and that mm-hmm. exists tomorrow, what does that consist of?
Well, I think, you know, clearly for us this year, it's been defense to offense. You know, I think if we're being disruptive on the defensive end, keeping them off the free throw line, holding them to one and done, you know, not letting them get offensive rebounds, and then we're able to get out and play fast and do what we do. I think, you know, for us, sharing the basketball, our assist numbers is always a really big barometer for how good we're playing. So, you know, I think if we're really successful defensively and we're giving them a hard time scoring, we're making them take the shots we want, and then we're able to get out, really share the ball, spread the wealth, I think that's going to be the best version of ourselves tomorrow.
It's Brady Selle, Ball State women's basketball head coach. Ball State in the Mid-American Conference Tournament semifinal tomorrow morning, or I guess a little bit afternoon, against Kent State. The championship would be 11 o'clock on Saturday. Coach, I just want to tell you, by the way, I could keep you the whole hour. And if you you know, if you did the last 40 minutes of my show and I jumped in a car, I'd be I don't know, a third of the way to Cleveland already. So, but you got better things to do, Coach.
Yeah, probably. And, you know, I do. I've got another interview after this one. So that's the crazy part about all this is it seems like a lot of my day is filled with one interview after another. But it's great talking about my program, and certainly always love talking to you, and wish you could be up here, but I know you'll be watching from home, my man.
No question. Coach, can't wait to have a patio conversation with you at the Pub House this coming summer. Go get them tomorrow. We'll be following along, okay?
Sounds good. Appreciate you.
That's Brady Selle, Ball State women's basketball head coach, with us. Conversations brought to you by the 1925 Pub House of the Courtyard. Voted the best all-around restaurant in the area in Muncie's Quest for the Best in 2023. They won 6 medals because they truly have something for everyone. Well, don't just take our word for it. Take the community's word for it. At Grandview Golf Club in Anderson, and of course, the location right in the heart of downtown Muncie at the Courtyard Marriott. That's the 1925 Pub House at the Courtyard. Yeah, they are such a fun team to watch. Like, this is one of those teams, and this is not just pumping up something to pump something up, but do you ever find yourself this time of the year, you're starting to really get to know other teams across the country, and that being on the women's side or the men's side, and somehow, some way, there are certain stylistic teams that catch your eye. I remember a couple of years back when Loyola Chicago made their runs with Porter Mosier, and this was before they made their run, not that like I figured them out before they ever got to the men's basketball tournament, but I remember I was flipping around conference tournaments, and I think it was a semifinal, and, you know, watching Loyola Chicago, I think they won pretty handily in that semifinal matchup, but from an aesthetic standpoint, it was like, man, I could really, really grow to love this team. I could grow to just really enjoy watching this team time and time again, and it feels like this time of the year, and of course, we've watched a lot of Ball State women's basketball and seen a lot of great moments this season. I mean, shoot, now 28 wins after their win against Ohio yesterday. But I would imagine if there were people just tuning in to random games at conference tournament week across all of college basketball, there would be a big segment of people that would land on Ball State women's basketball and be like, you know what, I don't know anything about them, but man, they are fun to watch. And, you know, sometimes you got to take yourself out of what you know. And this time of the year, it is so much fun to watch conference tournaments. You know, I got to watch a bit of the Stetson game this past weekend. I watched a bit of the Indiana State game. We talked about that on Monday. And if you didn't know anything about those teams, you would just watch them and be like, man, they're fun to watch. They are. That is some fun basketball, and they're pretty good at it, too. I mean, that's the other part of Ball State women's basketball. They're pretty good at what they do. Pretty darn good at what they do. But we had Kyle Smedley, and the crew from the Daily News is doing a wonderful job covering this run for Ball State women's basketball in Cleveland. But make sure to understand that as good as Ball State has been offensively this year, they are playing very, very well defensively. In their last five wins this season, in four of those five, they've given up 53 points or less in that time period. I mean, when they can really defend well, and Coach just mentioned it, defense to offense, it's kind of the mantra a lot of times. So we will have the recap of the game against Kent State tomorrow when we're on the air, because their game is supposed to tip off around 12:30. Again, you never know what's going to happen in the first contest, so you never know how things are going to shake out. But we should have the post game, I guess the post game on this program coming up tomorrow. I always love talking to Brady Selle. He's a lot of fun. All right, when we come back, we got a lot of basketball to talk about, a little bit of Colts that's coming on the other side. Power Talk of Muncie, WMUN. Yes, welcome back inside the show. Power Hour Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN on this Thursday. Brought to you in part by State Farm agent Jason May. Make sure you get all the discounts you deserve by calling Jason at 747-7100 today. Ball State women's basketball head coach Brady Selle with us right at the top of the show. That was about 18 to 19 minutes of gold. And by the way, we don't remind you enough, but we will again. Podcasts available for every single show we do throughout the week right here on WMUN, including this one. You can listen back to every conversation we have by visiting WMUNMuncie.com. It's kind of neat. The website is really like a podcast page in a lot of ways. But if you'd rather do it on the app portion of your phone, you can subscribe to WMUN Muncie, and you'll get live updates of when the podcasts are available for every single show. I know when I'm rolling around and listening to my shows, I can't listen to every single hour, and I get that. I understand that. So that's why we have added this podcast function, and I know there's a lot of interest in what Ball State women's basketball is doing tomorrow and throughout the weekend, and so I'm glad we had a chance to get Brady Selle on the program there a moment ago. So you can listen back to that conversation and every single one we have throughout the week by subscribing to our podcast page or visiting our website. That is WMUNMuncie.com. Now, for the part where you need to follow our social media. So we're going to try to explain this in the best way we can about Saturday's semi-state action. So a lot of moving parts, and of course, because, you know, when Ball State women's basketball moves on to the championship, not if, but when, we are anticipating having them right here on the airwaves on WMUN. So, as a result, you will be able to hear both semi-state matchups, so Wapahani at 2A North. That game is in the morning. Our pregame starts at 9:25, and that'll be over on 96.7 and 102.9 Blake FM. And again, only radio coverage, no video this time. The IHSA takes over the video component at the semi-state level and the state level, so no video from us locally. I know there's a lot of fans that'll be heading to Lafayette, Jeff, for that one. And then the second game up at Logansport in 3A North is Delta facing off against Fairfield. So we have two crews in two different places, spread out about 45 minutes from one another. And both of those games, a doubleheader, will exist on Blake FM, 96.7, 102.9. So if you want to listen or follow along in the two morning sessions, go over to Blake FM. That's where you'll get all the info. And by the way, on our social media pages, we are sending you to Blake FM so you can easily access what you need to access for Saturday. And again, we'll remind you of that coming up tomorrow as well. Now, when we get to the evening, if both teams advance, Delta will be right here on WMUN for the championship. Wapahani would be over on Blake for their championship. If only one team advances, we'll have one game here. Now, you don't need to remember all of this. My point in bringing this up to you is so you can follow our social media pages, because that's going to be the easiest way for you to find out about where things are located coming up on Saturday. I have had so many people text, call, all those different things. And, you know, we could tell you all you want, and you guys have busy lives. We understand that. We want to make it as easy as possible so you know where it is. We are going to blast it out like crazy on social media, so there is no doubt as to where you can find the respective games for Saturday. But we are fired up to bring both of them to you. Cruise for this weekend. I'm very excited about this. I really, really am. So Jimmy Cook is an excellent play-by-play broadcaster. He and I have worked on the IHSA Champions Network together. I am extremely excited to have him a part of our coverage coming up this weekend. He and Rob Fisher will be at Lafayette Jeff for the Wapahani-North Johnson game in the morning session. Then I will be up at Logansport with Yorktown head coach Matt Moulton. Yes, Matt Moulton, the Yorktown head coach, is going to join me for the analyst position for the Delta Fairfield game at 3A North at Logansport. I'm fired up for Jimmy to be a part of our coverage, but I'm really fired up to work with Matt Moulton, who will be our analyst for the Logansport side of things as well. So we're going to have great coverage for you all weekend long. Again, we're going to preview both of those matchups a little bit further into detail coming up tomorrow with Rob Fisher, who always joins us, and we'll break it all down that way. So coming up here in a little bit, we'll have Mick Tidrow, voice of the Cardinals, who's going to break down a little bit of baseball, volleyball, also women's basketball. There's a lot going on for Ball State sports right now, so we'll get to that coming up here in a little bit. So I'm going to tell you, to be honest, and I think every radio person kind of feels this way at some point in time. There are times on this show that I'm talking, and every once in a while people are like, heard you say this, heard you say that, heard you say everything. I always know people are listening. I get that all the time. People are tuning in because they want to know what's happening in local sports around here. And we're honored to kind of carry that torch and carry that baton and do that. But sometimes I sit there and I'm like, I wonder how many people are kind of listening in a lot of ways. And, you know, if I wanted to know that and I wanted to just really, like, go nuts, I would do things that I did on Tuesday. And for those of you that were listening Tuesday, I was pretty darn fired up about the Indianapolis Colts and what they had not done. Okay? And I got to tell you, after the show, I had about 15 text messages from people that were listening to the program saying, wow, you got fired up. Now, I would say on a regular basis, three of those 15 I have regular conversations with. So there were 12 others that were like, darn, Mark got a little fired up. And my point with bringing that up is this, in two ways. One, it'd be very easy for us to be that program. It'd be very easy for us to go what I would describe as scorched earth and just let loose. I don't like listening to that. I think it gets a little bit boring or annoying when you have to listen to that. And by the way, I've always said we want to be honest, truthful, straightforward, give opinion where it's necessary, but also be accurate and honest about it. And I feel like if, you know, you do the scorched earth type of show all the time, you lose a little bit of that credibility. That's my opinion, okay? The other part is how much it struck a chord with people about what I said about the Indianapolis Colts on Tuesday, okay? And it's gotten, to my opinion, a little bit worse, a little bit further down the line. Because I look at all the teams in the division that are trying to get better from a skill position standpoint. Tennessee signed Calvin Ridley to a $92 million deal. I wouldn't have given him that much money. But hey, you got to give Tennessee credit. They got a new running back. They got a new wide receiver. Okay? You've got the Texans who re-signed Dalton Schultz, brought in a new running back in Joe Mixon, and got an impact defensive end in Danielle Hunter. I mean, they are getting better. They are trying to get better. In Jacksonville, after losing Calvin Ridley, they were a little bit of in a bidding war. They went out and got Gabe Davis. So maybe they got better. Maybe they replaced Calvin Ridley with another player in that regard. Meanwhile, the Indianapolis Colts signed Joe Flacco as a backup quarterback. And I'm not mad at Joe Flacco being a backup quarterback. I actually kind of like it, if you want to know the truth. But can you look at the difference? All three other division teams are actively trying to get better at skill position. Because, by the way, the Texans had a good offense, not a top 10 offense. Tennessee didn't have a top 10 offense. Jacksonville didn't have a top 10 offense. And the Indianapolis Colts did not as well. And yet, it seems like the other three are saying, we got to get better offensively. We got to be more dynamic offensively. The Colts need to as well to support Anthony Richardson. And you see the other teams doing something totally differently than the Indianapolis Colts are doing. I'm not always in the realm of thinking that you got to be groupthink and you got to do what everybody else is doing. But I think it's very fair to know that the Indianapolis Colts need to get better at playmaker. They didn't have one tight end that stood out. They're hoping Jelani Woods can be healthy this year. Is there something there? They need a second wide receiver. You know, the wide receiver addition they had last year, Isaiah McKenzie, they suspended, and Isaiah McKenzie's now elsewhere. You don't have a lot of depth at wide receiver. So I'll be a little bit more measured when I say it this time. But I don't get the philosophy. I don't understand it. And you're going to go to the draft, try to bring in a wide receiver that makes an impact right away and makes you better right away. I mean, I'm cool with going to get a wide receiver in the draft. I'm good with that. But why not, when you have a guy on a rookie deal and you have some cap space to utilize, why not try to make yourselves better right now with a veteran piece? That's all I'm asking for. So maybe it was a little spicy on Tuesday because I heard about it. So, all right, when we come back, we'll close the show with Mick Tidrow, voice of the Cardinals, a variety of Ball State sports topics. Coming your way next, Power Talk on CWMUN.
Avoid some of these storms that have been all over the place today in Indiana, but appreciate you having me on as always. It sounds like you got caught up in a little bit of the thunderstorm, though.
Yeah, well, so I want to publicly say this and a thank you to you and Ball State Sports, because I called you yesterday and I want to make sure people know the partnership. You know, we needed an extra set of headsets for this weekend for all of the high school basketball coverage we have, and you guys were so nice, you particular, and allowing us to borrow some equipment for this weekend. So thank you very, very much. We much appreciate that.
Yeah, of course, Mark. And I'm sorry you had to suffer through the thunderstorm as soon as you picked it up. That was the hardest part. I was like, oh man, he's gonna walk straight into that rainstorm and the thunder, the lightning. So glad it's all worked out and you're back safely in the studio.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I didn't become Facebook or Instagram famous with you guys taking a video from that window, because that would have been pretty darn good content, I would imagine. So
yeah, we'll keep it off of that. We have the video.
Oh, okay.
You know, we just won't publicize it.
Well, you know what? Hey, as we say in the business, content is king. It doesn't really matter what the content is. So I, you know, save that that for a time where you and I have like a screaming match over the phone, and you're like, I'm going to release the video.
I'll save it for a rainy day.
Well done. Well done. It's Vic Tindro, voice of the Cardinals. Quickly, thoughts on Ball State women's basketball. We had Brady Selle on earlier. Third time with Kent State tomorrow, and then the championship there. Look, they're going to have to beat two good teams regardless to get to where they want to go. But there's a lot of confidence inside that program without question.
Yeah, Mark, it was awesome to see them just jump out and attack that first game against Ohio, because you always wonder how our team's going to fare in that quarterfinal. What does it look like for everybody? And Ball State was able to just walk in and take care of business. Allie Becky was hitting shots right off the beginning, and that's where if Ball State has that type of a beginning to a game, you have to really understand and like that that is a great situation for them. So opportunity taken advantage of in that first game. And you're right, the semifinal matchup is going to be tough, and I think everybody expected that the Toledos, the Kent States, and the Ball States of the world would get to the semifinals on the women's side of the bracket. It was just, how was it going to happen? Toledo almost lost in the first game of the day.
Right.
That's the number one seed, but they took care of business at the end of the day. So from here on out, the task is a little bit harder for Ball State, but what a statement to pick up the 28th win of the season. And Mark, look, this is where we can now talk about the discussion we had earlier in the season between us on the air about NCAA tournament, if one thing or whatever doesn't happen. Winning yesterday and then winning, if Ball State does it tomorrow, get to the championship game, your at-large chances go up dramatically, because
right,
you'd be a 29-4 team going into the championship. Can a committee leave out a team that goes 29-4? I don't know, 29-5 if they don't win the championship. But again, we can have that discussion when we get through the tournament. But you just look at what Ball State's done, and that resume continues to get packed a little bit better, and they're in a good spot for that. So don't want to speak prematurely on it, but
yeah,
you have to think that there's got to be that conversation, right?
There's got to be that. There's no question, and you brought that up, and I brought it up on Monday in respect to Indiana State, a team that Ball State men's basketball played. And this is where the conversation gets very interesting. I think we had this conversation 2 months ago about this topic, and it's not just your 29-4. It's what you did in non-conference play that sets you up to have that conversation at 29-4. And that's my fear, you know, not to get in an Indiana State topic. It's my fear for Indiana State because of what they didn't do against Quad 1, what they didn't really have in the strength of their non-conference play. The total flip side is with Ball State women's basketball, 29-4, and what they did in their tournaments, that conversation's real. It really is.
It is, and that's what hopefully is recognized at the end of the day. And hopefully Ball State doesn't get put in a position where that has to be the discussion, but you just that thought pops up now because you're in the semifinals, and see what happens. There's a lot to play for still Friday, Saturday basketball. But, yeah, just a thought that popped into my head. I was like, we talked about that, but revisiting that because of – where Ball State sits right now.
Yeah, no question. Voice of the Cardinals, Mick Tindro. Volleyball off to a really good start. They're at the top of the MIVA right now. And again, I know once we get through kind of this week and into the tournaments and all those sorts of things, we'll start to focus on volleyball, baseball, softball especially. But volleyball's off to a great start.
Yeah, men's volleyball, Mark, is. And the one loss against McKendree on the road there isn't as bad of a loss as maybe people would think it is, because McKendree's pretty good this season. McKendree's played well, and to have that be the only blemish on the record right now is okay. The one big thing here that you look at and think about is those wins against Loyola Chicago for Ball State were massive. They were massive because that's a team that can beat anybody on any given day. You win those two, put yourself in a great spot. Now Ohio State's tonight, and then you also play Ohio State next week. You can win both of those games, split both those games, whatever it is. You are sitting in a really good position for the rest of the conference season. So at Ball State, doing what it needed to do against Loyola Chicago was great. And Ohio State dropped a match earlier the season, a couple matches in the meat of the season. So the way the Ball State has positioned itself at the beginning of conference is very beneficial to their hopes of being regular season champs again. But there's still a long road to go. We still got a month, a little less than a month in the season. So I think this week of games, so today against Ohio State and then next week against Ohio State, could tell a little bit more of that picture.
And then baseball doing baseball things. It's kind of like rinse and repeat. You just kind of insert opponents for 2024. They always make their mark in non-conference play. And now we're heading to conference play here. Mick, they're very excited about this group. I know there's some changes from some of the faces that fans might have become familiar with the conference championship, tournament championship last year. But again, they're going to be one of the one, two, or three teams at the top of the MAC that we're talking about at the end of the year, right?
Yeah, Mark, and I mean, they dropped the first two games in the series against Eastern Michigan to open up the MAC schedule, and you know, people were asking, well, what went on, what's going on with their team, and well, I think a couple things can be true. They're pretty fresh in terms of who's on the squad, pretty fresh with that aspect, but then Ball State did drop a couple series last year and still ended up winning the conference title and then making the NCAA tournament. So I think that with such a new lineup and pitching staff still coming together, just have patience with this team because Coach Maloney is always going to steer it in the right direction and place the right players in positions to win. So, yeah, this team's excited, and I think that it's perfect example was Tuesday against Purdue Fort Wayne. You come out, score 19 runs against a team that had beaten number 20 IU. They'd beaten Missouri twice. So Purdue Fort Wayne was not a team to just roll over and not compete. So Ball State came out with some attitude and authority and took care of business early on in that game. So like the response after those first two losses against Eastern Michigan, won the Sunday game and then won Tuesday against Purdue Fort Wayne. I think this series against Bowling Green this weekend is a really good test too. But yeah, it's a team that they don't win less than 30 games under Coach Maloney. So in a really good position already this year.
It's Mick Tindrill, voice of the Cardinals, with us. The last thing here, you guys are going to have some telecasts coming up for the baseball side of things as you head into spring. So obviously the radio coverage that we have here for women's basketball this week, we've covered that part of things. But as you transition into spring and some of the live content from a game perspective, give the listeners a little idea of what's coming up in spring competition coming.
Yeah, Mark, we've got 7 baseball dates on television this year, and that's going to tie a record for ESPN Plus productions for baseball season. So we'll have the Ohio series at the end of March, 28 through 30, and then the Central Michigan series May 10 through 12. And then that last game of the regular season, one of the last games of the regular season, last home game against Indiana State, will be televised as well, which we all know what Indiana State did last year on the baseball front. So 7 really good matchups for the Cardinals on TV on the baseball side. On the softball side, we're scheduled to try and get between 4 to 6 dates. Some of those are doubleheaders. For softball, it kind of depends on what men's volleyball does because they play on some of the same days. And our men's volleyball MEVA tournament coverage would take those dates. So sure. Kind of just wait-and-see mode of what volleyball does to see how many softball games we officially do, but at least 4 dates on the docket for softball. Again, some of those are doubleheader dates, so we'll catch up within games on there as well. So that could be a really good spring slate between baseball and softball on television. And to check out those dates, you can visit ballstatesports.com and check out when they're playing.
Outstanding. It is Mick Tindrill, voice of the Cardinals, with us as the schedule, a slight hiatus for him, but it's going to pick up very soon with baseball, softball, et cetera. And, of course, all the women's basketball coverage happening in Cleveland. Right now you can hear the games on Friday and when they win, not if they win, Saturday as well right here on WMUN. Mick, thanks as always, my friend. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you. Go Cards.
That's Mick Tindrill, voice of the Cardinals, with us on the program as always. Well, we got a lot of different things to cover tomorrow. I want to get with George Bremer, Herald Bulletin, to talk about the Colts stuff, but a lot of it's going to be focused on basketball tomorrow, the high school variety and Ball State women's basketball, and a little bit of conference tournament stuff as well. So we'll accomplish all of that coming up tomorrow. Thanks to all those of you for joining us. We're back with you tomorrow at 4. Have a good evening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.